Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Rethinking Work podcast. Today we have Natasha Terranova on from Reach UK. We went over to her office, their co-working space in WeWork in Victoria, and it was awesome. Bill saw a poodle. What else did you see?
I saw the future, Ben. It was absolutely brilliant. We loved the WeWork. We've been into quite a few not very busy offices, and so it was banging to see a place that was just humming with activity and interesting people.
And it was great because so Reach UK are a kind of prop tech investment company, and we're going to far more detail in the podcast, but the scope of people that she talks to and invests in and mentors is so interesting. And actually, it was really exciting to just feel like we were part of that little organization. So this is the podcast. We're actually going. We're issuing this today, which is Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday this week is Cretech, which is something that Natasha very kindly invited us to. And what are we doing there, Bill?
It's a prop tech conference. And so we're gonna meet a lot of people who are either invested in by Reach UK or other prop techers, and see what the direction of travel is for our industry.
Brilliant. So there you go. We're off to Cretech. This is Reach UK. This is Natasha Terranova, and we're at the WeWork in Victoria. Thanks for listening. Oh, we did this in a really noisy room yesterday. This is so much nicer.
Yeah, I know. Professional.
Right. I'm just going to start. So we're joined today by Natasha from Reach UK. And something that we were just mentioning before we started was our listeners are quite a broad range of people. So some of the podcasts have been quite detail focused. And actually, maybe we jump too quickly to explain what we're jumping into. So your background is in what, the last couple of years, is prop tech. So why don't you give us a bit of background of Reach, and then we're going to take a giant step back and explain to people what we mean by prop tech.
But I mean, even explaining Reach is sort of very much connected to the property technology or to the real estate industry as a whole. So Reach is a venture capital backed scale-up program. What that means is that we work with technology startups and we help them to increase adoption of their technology in the global real estate marketplace. The venture capital organization that is backing us is called Second Century Ventures, which could be a little bit of a mouthful.
But Second Century Ventures.
And I'll tell you a story why it's actually called Second Century Ventures. So we slightly different from a traditional venture capital organization in that we have a single LP. So it's a single backer. We are fully capitalized by the National Association of Realtors, which is a US industry body. It's the largest industry body in the world. So in a way, that kind of gives us a double mandate. So we were put on this planet Earth by the industry to go and find the technologies that help real estate market practitioners to do their job better. And on another side, as a VC and the scale-up program, we need to make sure that these technologies are commercially successful and sustainable.
Okay.
So
what's a good example of a company that's done that for people you don't really know?
Oh, you're asking me really hard questions. Yeah. You know, I've got, so our UK portfolio now has 18 companies and I'm in love with all of them. Where do you want me to start?
Which ones I guess not the most successful, but the one that people might recognize outside of our industry?
I would actually give you an example from the US portfolio, and I love giving that example because it showcases our investment thesis and the way we look at the industry and the technology that powers it. So one of the first investments of Second Century Ventures was a little company called DocuSign.
DocuSign, oh yeah.
Yeah, and so if you think about how you can make real estate more transactable, legal tech would be a massive part of it. Mm. So for example, one of the successful companies in the US currently is also a company called Notarize, which is online notarization. So anything that makes real estate more transactable, that creates efficiencies in terms of the sales of real estate.
Yeah,
would be something that we would look at.
And when you say real estate, in the simplest terms, what do you mean when you say real estate?
Okay, refer to it as a built environment.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's any building that's been built. You know, whether it's commercial or residential, whether it's industrial, office. You know, you name it. So any physical asset.
And there are so many efficiencies to be had there, aren't there? I mean, you know, we're professionals in that space, but buying and selling houses, you know, I find it terribly confusing, and that's what we, you know, that's our main professional skills. There are efficiencies there. Plus, there is the scale that most people at some point engage with buying property as a form of saving, or because in England, it's a big sort of part of, you know, your identity as well. So that's a huge space. Do you think that's why your backers targeted real estate, or was it because of other reasons about passions around property or their background?
Well, so the way Second Century was set up, it was the way of the National Association of Realtors to enter the second century of their existence.
I see.
Powering and providing the right technology tools to their member base. So we're very much, you know, because of our heritage, we're very much sort of thinking about the value to members of the association, you know, who are real estate market professionals. And in the UK, when we started from day one, our partner is PropertyMark, so the National Association of Estate Agents. So when you're asking about PropTech, I think, you know, to me, it's from how we transact to how we manage and operate and how we are engaging with a built environment as tenants or householders or renters.
And when you're saying property technology, I guess the internet 20 years ago and the explosion of everything being digital has created an enormous platform for that. But it's not just the background stuff. Like, do you mean things like digital doorbells or all of the internal, like Nests and Google things? That's all property technology. So the scale is anything digital in any single property across all levels is what PropTech is.
To me, it definitely is. And so my background is in mobility. I've mentioned that before. So it was interesting to sort of discover the, you know, how the intersection of mobility and real estate work together. And recently I was thinking about it. And if you really break down our life to three key things, you know, that would be food, transport, and a building, right? Yeah. So, but that's like really diving it down.
No, I think it's good. Well, it's interesting.
Surely love.
Yes, it did.
Well, we were saying that. I mean, we've just come over from kind of Dulston, so East London, all the way over here on our wonderful Van Moof electric bikes. The difference it's made to our life by having an electric bike is absolutely amazing. I mean, we waft through London. It's great. You get such a different experience of the city by doing that. And I guess, you know, us coming in here, you know, we logged in automatically when we came in, and it was all done with barcodes and sensors. And we should point out that we're in the WeWork in Victoria. I've never been into a WeWork, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I've just seen an enormous poodle walk across a sky bridge here. I mean, we're really late to the party, but we're incredibly impressed, Natasha.
Yeah, no, I quite like actually the fact that they allow dogs in.
Oh, they did. So you didn't make that
no,
up?
No, I didn't make that up. I just saw it.
I thought you were being comical.
It's why I've been so quiet. I've just sort of spellbound.
Yeah, Bill, we don't know what you've done in the morning. Is everything all right with your coffee?
Yeah. Well, it's a barista made, 80 flat white.
So Reach UK then. Yeah. So you've been director of Reach UK for the last, do you say 2 years?
2 years,
two
yeah.
2 years, yeah. And so tell us more about Reach UK. You're a connector.
Yeah, so what sort of the way Reach fits into the whole NAR and SCV ecosystem, that we work with earlier stage startups, and the program is quite lengthy, and it's all about exposure and access to the market. So we work with our partners like PropertyMark to increase adoption of the technologies that are in our cohort, and generally speaking, sort of the wider ecosystem. So the industry and technology needs to talk. They need to understand sort of where it hurts for the industry, what type of tech is needed the most, that, you know, and different vertical would have different needs as well. So we work with the likes of Savills. You've been at our kickoff a month ago, which was incredibly well attended. You know, we work with the likes of CBRE and JLL. We work with individual estate agents. We work with some of the industrial providers. So it's incredibly wide. So we like to galvanize the industry around us.
Are these people who you've sponsored and are backing, or is it much broader than that and just people who you think it might benefit from your team and your support rather than capital?
That's like a super good question. So one of the key sort of pillars of the program is our mentor base. So Nikki Whiteman is one of our mentors.
She gets a mention every episode. Yeah. So hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
She'll love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nikki was one of our like star mentors from the very beginning. You know, we've got mentors from JLL, and you know, these are the people who are tech curious, and who need to understand the technology landscape. And if you think about PropTech, I mean, goodness, I think, you know, latest JLL report said it was 300% increase on the PropTech companies over the last decade. One of the sort of data points I presented to NAR leadership meeting, that was a couple of years ago, though, I have to say, that we had about 3,000 startups in Europe alone. Out of that, 800 plus would be in the UK, and 80% of those are in a very sort of our pre-seed, which is really early stage.
Wow.
So this is this wave of innovation that really needs support from the industry. So you can't really look at this in isolation.
It's really, I like the term tech curious. That was exactly how I describe myself. Because at that event which we went to, what was so cool was obviously we're close to Nikki, and at the end of the event, I was just stood next to Nikki, and obviously all of the new companies came over to say hi and to meet all these different companies, different scales, different sizes. All of their working patterns were completely different. And even if there were 60 people, I've said this before, they would work remotely and all come into an office one day a week. So what's the kind of scale of businesses that you work with? Because I thought 60 would be massive, but that's still a non-funded and completed company.
So we actually, so as a part of Reach, we do provide funding to our company. So we do make an equity investment in them. And if I don't make the companies, or we don't make the companies more investable, or we don't increase their, you know, the level of adoption in a certain geography, I would be, probably wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
The companies that we typically work with, so the 11 companies we just onboarded, their total valuation is 230 million USD.
Wow.
But the range within that is from 6 to 60. So we, the way we work with technologies is, has a highly bespoke character. Because, you know, what can work for one company that is valued at 60 million will not work for, you know, for the company of a smaller size. Also, we work with both commercial and residential real estate. And this year, we launched the program with a sustainability futures track inside it. So we've got 11 companies, and four of them are very clearly sort of sustainable futures technology. And that's, so given my background in decarbonization of last mile and bioplastic and et cetera, that really what gets me excited.
I'm interested in this idea that often it's people from outside industries that really disrupt them, because you're not clouded by the traditional learnings. And you had a career before property. So coming into our world, what do you think are the obvious challenges or barriers that you think that we might not see because we're too deep?
I wouldn't actually even say it like that. So I was always laser focused on making sure that the tech we have in a class would improve the environmental footprint. So since the moment we started in the UK, we've done things differently from day one. And it's also, I think, helpful to mention that, so we are in pretty much all of the English speaking markets. So we originated in the US in 2008. And then Reach has started global expansion in 2019 with opening Australia. And in 2020, they went into Canada and the UK. And I love telling that story. We actually were announced the latest expansion territory a week before the national lockdown. So I was in my career pivot. You know, I knew very little about, you know, the real estate or urban tech or prop tech, or whatever you want to call that. And then all of a sudden, we were locked in.
The world just shut down.
I mean, the world has wobbled. Yeah,
I think that's interesting. Like, we're generally more experienced in kind of commercial architecture, so it'd be quite fun to talk about that for a moment. But lockdown happened. It's eased, but the real estate world is not the same. And we're wondering what is going to happen to all these fabulous buildings. I'm pleased to see it quite as busy as it is today here in Victoria. But not everyone has that luxury. And you're in a place where you're talking to all these problem solvers who are using technology. You know, what is going to happen to some of these commercial assets?
You know what is interesting? That the problem solvers, and I love the fact that you just call them the problem solvers, because, you know, I like to talk about the tech solutions. So problem solvers and the industry sometimes talk very different language. Mm-hmm. And aligning that is very much our job as well, because, you know, we need to make sure that our companies articulate well about what they do and that the industry sees that it is not nice to have but must have. And I think a lot of stuff within the real estate, and I started sort of working in sustainability space in 2015. My entire career actually was, you know, I started in insurtech. It wasn't even a word. That was 2008. Then I moved on to fintech, which also wasn't even a thing. and then I ended up in mobility as a service. And actually, when mobility as a service wasn't even a word. So when we were creating on-demand solution, we were thinking of doing it as a scooter as a service. And yeah. Then mobility as a service became a thing. So in terms of, I would talk a lot about sustainability because it's what naturally falls on my plate all the time because of my experience. It's there's a lot of interesting sort of topics within that in real estate. And, you know, the ranges from data, how we operate the, how we can create the data, how we can use the data to create the human-centric design, you know, how, because well-being is very much sort of fell into that bucket, especially after the pandemic. Because, you know, you need to attract people back to the building. You need to make sure that the environment is there to make them feel safe and comfortable.
That's interesting. I think, I guess we were chatting on the way over here about one of the, I guess one of the nice things about Reach is that you're creating a community as well. So, and suddenly coming in here, this is the busiest office we've been to in the last 3 months. Like every office we've been to that is a dedicated office seems to be very quiet. Whereas here, it's really, really busy. And I think creating a community with Reach, do the mentees talk to each other? They have roundtable sessions, they learn from each other. Like how does that work? Do you create?
Yeah, absolutely. Love that question, by the way. And you guys are more than welcome to join one of the upcoming roundtables that we have, because we love to have to facilitate the conversation between the industry and the startups, because you need to understand.
We're nodding enthusiastically for those who can't see what we're doing.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, no, let me start with inviting you on behalf of Cretech and Reach to attend the Cretech London next week.
Wow.
We are having...
We love gifts on this show. Thank you. That's very generous. Yeah. We'll be there. Thank you.
No, absolutely. We're going to be taking over the stage. So our companies are going to be doing the demos on the innovation stage. We're also joining one of the venture capital panels talking about investing in technology that helps to build the resilience in the cities. The other thing we actually started, I'm going to definitely give it a mention. So we recently started affordable housing initiative, where we want the industry and the technology to engage with us that helps this incredibly wide problem. So we're going to talk about that from stage as well. So our American partner, Tyler Thompson, is attending that, and we're going to definitely do something pretty exciting about it. And I think it's going to be interesting to join up the dots between how things are done in the US and in the UK, anything to do with housing affordability.
I think that's a very hot topic in lots of cities, especially in London. I'm interested whether that will lean towards the kind of modular and prefabrication and the delivery of homes, which I think a lot of American expertise sits with. And actually some of the challenges in London are around the politics and the boroughs and community infrastructure levies and all of those kind of things. And I wonder how transferable some of those problems are to our bigger thinking American friends.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I think innovation in a way is cross-pollination. You know, you need to understand how other industries work to, you know, to help have a different perspective, because I think it's everything about perspective, really.
Because we kind of regularly ask people, oh, what do you think how can we solve these problems? Everyone seems to just say, like, turn offices into residential. That's what everyone's, because it's an obvious solution to a simple solution to an obvious problem. There's so much empty office. Is that what people are looking at, this idea of?
I think it would be one of the things, you know, you look at the space utilization, you know, and how you can make it for people, right? You know, how you can make it relevant. I thought it was really interesting. I think it was Debenhams and John Lewis who has planning permission to convert some of their high street stores into commercial or residential.
Yeah. Even on Oxford Street, that's happening.
Yeah,
half of their store, the John Lewis store, is going to residential.
It's a complicated one because the architecture doesn't always lend itself to it. You need commercial centres. We're in the middle of a wave that we don't know when it's going to kind of oscillate the other way. So I have some different views on whether housing is always the answer. And how nice was it to come into this busy office floor plate today and see everybody working here? You mentioned you've just onboarded or invested in 11 companies. So there is a sustainability element, it sounds like, I'm quite interested in this idea about the data of space usage to make sure you're getting efficiencies there. I wonder what if you're looking at anything to do with deconstruction and urban mining and the use of existing materials. I mean, that's very exciting for us, and we have a sort of side project around that space, and we'd like to hear anything you might think about that.
So now my startups are going to be real happy because I'm going to mention a lot of them.
Oh, great. Perfect.
So in terms of actually, you know, so sharing economy is a really interesting space, and I think we really need to adopt this approach, which is not, you know, cradle to plate, but cradle to cradle. And actually there's a wonderful book about it. So one of the technologies that
What's that book called?
Cradle to Cradle.
Cradle to Cradle. Great.
Don't ask me about the right side. I actually don't remember.
We'll put it
sorry,
in the comments.
Sorry about that. Yeah, okay, I can definitely put it. I can even take a picture of the book because I have it on my shelf at home. So one of the interesting companies in more construction space, and so they are very active in the Nordics. It's a Norwegian company called Material Mapper. And what Material Mapper does, it's they use AI technology to identify how many or what type of materials would be reusable after demolition. And they provide this data, so that's to what you just said, they provide this data to construction companies, and they, so you know, they match the new construction with the reusable materials from demolition. And
no one's still an idea. That's a great idea.
Well, my side project is the building material exchange, which is very similar to that, but it's a sort of, it is a platform where you can exchange materials, and there are examples of it, but only on quite domestic levels of pallets of bricks. And I'm imagining that when there are all these as-built BIM models of buildings that are coming to the end of their lives, those elements could be carved up. That's very exciting. Oh, well, look them
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but you know the other thing that you've just mentioned, and you may have hit a nail on the head. So about, you know, when we talk about the problems in that or the issues or the hurdles in the industry, you really need all of the stakeholders to buy into a certain idea to really drive the adoption of the right technologies. So for example, Material Mapper is in Norway. In Norway, there's a legislation that the new construction should use some of the materials that are reusable. So they have a fantastic environment to grow.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, to grow in that space. But I think they have a fantastic global perspectives as well.
There's a company here called Great Portland Estates, who are a great developer. Yeah. They are doing that, and they own both assets, which has made it much more straightforward to do. And it strikes me that one of the big challenges is you've got to be big enough to own both the asset that's being demolished and the one that's being built to get the good of it. And that's something that technology can overcome, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think there's so many like smart tech, and you know, I'm not a techie, by the way, so I can understand the use case and why it is important, but I definitely cannot articulate well, you know, how the algorithms work, you know, to enable the machine learning and AI and things like that. But
we were talking to a structure engineer who they were saying, you know, they wanted to reuse all the beams and then reuse them in the building, but obviously they're all slightly different shapes, they have slightly different loading capacities, but they're looking at kind of LiDAR scanning. You just throw a drone in there and it scans all the beams, and then you get a rough idea of what you can and can't use from a building. But I guess like I chatted last year to Olio, and I guess it's not building related, but it's a sharing economy, and that we're thinking like we're talking about scaling that up to like building sharing economy. What was that company called? Are they in the Norwegian one again?
The Norwegian is called Material Mapper. But when we talk about sharing economy, it would be absolutely criminal for me not to mention the company that we just onboarded. They're called Moki. So Moki actually, so they provide service to the end consumer, but the real estate industry is for them as a conduit. So they organize the smart hubs in the buildings with occupancy more than 1,000 people. So they make it easier for me as a consumer to come in and start reduce, reuse, recycle by using their smart hubs. So they just opening a couple of buildings in France, their French company. They opening their flagship building with Nuveen. And I think, I'm not going to lie, there's a lot going on in my head right now. But they have a couple of other locations as well. So it's an incredibly interesting concept.
That is an interesting concept. And Nuveen are kind of leaders in that space as well. If there are young people listening who have ideas around prop tech, do you have any advice for them about, one, how they could come to pitch for funding, or two, how they could develop their idea or test it or look for the dead pile of failed predecessors? Or I just wonder, there are lots of clever people in this space who studied architecture who might be thinking about transitioning to tech. And if you have any advice for them, I know I've put you on the spot there slightly.
You really did put me on the spot. was my face saying, why are you asking me?
As she reels back. Oh, God.
I guess the question is, how do you find these great ideas? You're out hunting for them, and they're also knocking on your door.
Oh, yeah, we're out hunting for them big time. The first year when we was just the first year of operation, my colleague Valentina and I, we interviewed, I think, over 300 startups in a year. I know. I did say that I have a startups too in my head. Yeah. Oh. but some of them do stand out. But there's, you know, there's
of the 300, how many got through? I was just curious.
Seven. Year one, only seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's incredibly competitive space. What I'd say, you know, there's a lot of industry initiatives, you know, that running things like hackathons, and there's a lot of support groups, you know, that. My advice would be just to monitor the sort of the industry and do the research. So there's definitely hackathons that are run by Tech London Advocates, for example, that we are a big part of. So I'm one of the colleagues of TLA PropTech Groups. So these guys are going to organize the hackathon. It's going to be very problem centric. So, you know,
when you say hackathon, you don't mean like software. You mean like ideas hackathon, right?
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, so when you get a lot of smart people in a room and you say, right, you know, this is the industry problem, go.
That sounds really interesting.
I love things like that. But that's, you know, when you have a startup at the idea stage, you know, idea is one thing, execution is another.
Mm. Yeah.
You guys know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, it's sort of idea 1%, execution the rest.
You just made me think, you know, like I saw this quote, any idiot can learn from their own mistakes, but learn from other people's mistakes is way better. All of the companies that maybe didn't go ahead, do you sift through the wreckage? Like what happened? Because you learned so much. And there must be some great ideas where someone will look at it and go, oh, if they just pivoted here, I could see how that would work. Do you have that, like, exposure to the ones that don't work?
Yeah, I wouldn't first of all call them the wreckage.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Unrealized.
And we're going to get thrown out here.
No, you know, because, you know, we have criteria. You know, we need our companies to be of a certain size, have a certain size team in place so they can accommodate the potential growth. So, you know, we can help sort of the breadth of the sort of the help that we can provide ranges a lot more than with the industry adoption. We've been known to help on the product development because we have access to the industry. We can create these roundtables really effectively so they can really test their ideas and create this continuous feedback loop. So we keep in touch actually with a lot of companies that that didn't go through. One of the companies this year that was applying last year, that didn't go through last year, go through this year. It's a company called Search Smartly. So what they do, they provide, it's a marketplace, it's a hyper-personalized AI-enabled marketplace for people who are looking for the property. So, you know, and they provide data like, so they were actually recently mentioned and quoted in the Financial Times because the air quality is becoming one of the key considerations when you're buying a house.
Yeah,
so that's, you know, that I think it's a good showcase that definitely not a wreckage. We love our broader tech ecosystem. And typically when I approach the industry, when sort of I pitch mentorship on a program, I do say that, you know, we are not limited to what we have in the cohort. We really love engaging the broader tech ecosystem in what we do. Because the value, I think, is broader than what we have capacity to onboard and real help in the space of 9 months.
That's really, I mean, I'm gonna do a bit on crowbar a question in here, but what I found, and I've mentioned this before, what I found so interesting was even 60 people did use an office, didn't use an office. Like, you know, we work with some amazing companies doing some cool fit outs and things, and we want to know, is there certain companies that lend themselves more to being in an office, or is it because it's all digital, people are just on laptops and perfectly fine? Do people miss offices? Like, do they want to come in and have like a proper space, or does everyone just work temporarily on laptops?
I think flexibility would be a key word that I would go with. It really depends on the company. So one of the companies also that is in a current cohort, company called Residently, and I think so did
I
you not
them.
Did you not have a chat about, you know, their way of collaborating? So I thought that was super interesting because they get together in their founder's house, I think, every Friday. Residently, I'm sorry if I'm entirely misleading this, by the way. So the collaboration element really does work in person, right? You know, it's just different. It's very different to Zoom. It was interesting how we launched our first year program because we launched the program in February. First time we actually saw our companies was May.
Wow.
Everything was done behind physically closed doors. I was joking. I thought I was going to cry. You know, I haven't seen this guys, but ironically actually, so we had two companies, one from France, and one from Spain. So them two, weirdly enough, I met in person.
I certainly see that employees have been gifted trust. and actually asking people to come in, it's like you're taking that trust back to a degree. And so I think some people like the idea of working independently, just as a way of saying, you know, I'm trusted, rather than actual performance or output or outcomes or any of those other things. I certainly see the synergy of having these people together and sharing ideas and sharing failures and that kind of, you know, I love that quote of sort of innovation is cross-pollination, you know, that. But the tech is becoming easier to do that remotely. But I love that story of a founder's house. So he has a kind of away day every Friday at his place and everybody comes in.
Yeah, it's got a jacuzzi and a hot tub and stuff.
I don't know, guys. I don't know that. But you're not talking sort of about how you work, even us as a team. So we have our team is three people. It's Paolo Rigutto, Valentina Shagoyan, and myself. So we're all sprinkled evenly around London. So... And our membership in WeWork allows us to work from any WeWork. I told you guys that, you know, I'm going to go and work from WeWork in Barcelona in a couple of weeks' time. So we work independently, but yet we have a day where we come together to productively co-create.
Nice. Well, in that vein then, this idea of like being outsiders, I mean, I'm presuming a lot of these tech guys has seen a problem, but they're not in the construction profession or the architectural profession. So it would be amazing for us to be able to kind of test some of their ideas. You know, we've worked on massive skyscraper projects, huge, big residential projects. You know, like there's going to be some things. It would be great to hear those ideas and maybe tweak them in the way, oh, actually, that's not, this is how it would work on site and that's not how it will. Well, that contractor's quite forward thinking, maybe pitch that idea to them. Is that something, how does the mentorship work?
So we actually, you know, so mentorship works very much in that way, but also one of the bespoke program elements that we created is, so we refer to it as an expert panel. So I'll give you an example of how we did it last year. So we had a build-to-rent expert panel and five of the companies out of seven last year thought that they provide solutions to the BTR market. Three of them had ready solutions. Two of them thought that it would work like super well. So we had, I think it was about 20 attendees. We broke them into sort of the mini round tables. And then each of our companies had about 30 minutes of the opportunity to lead this conversation and to find out how the technology would work by asking in this, you know, open-ended questions, you know, how and, you know, how the issue is dealt with currently, how that technology potentially would fit in. And two of them came out of there thinking, well, actually, you know, that's not even the vertical they would approach. Yeah. And three did really well.
And do you have any architects on there? Do I need to make a cat hiss noise or are we the only architects on there?
There weren't any architects, actually. So they were, yeah.
An expert panel without the architects.
I know. All of a sudden I realize I've done something wrong.
No, I am interested, though, because industry is different from the problems. Because often the overcoming the challenges are, I don't know, there are different communities within the industry that have frictions and you might not see that from the outside. One thing I've heard of, certainly in legal tech being assumed in the industry, is to make some of the big five firms investors in the companies, and that way they're incentivized to use the technology, integrate it, and make change of the industry from the inside. I mean, you mentioned Nuveen. I know they're quite forward thinking. You know, a good idea would be to if you can get them to invest, then they've got a big incentive to push it and actually, you know, chances of success rocket. So do you do the joint ventures like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the entire venture capital, if you think about it, kind of works like that because, you know, you have the LPs and GPs that are investing in the fund. So they don't sometimes invest directly, they invest via the funds. But then the job of a VC, especially as a valuer, is to have real good relationship with your LPs and GPs so you can help them to adopt the tech in that way.
Interesting. Well, we're coming up to the kind of 35-minute mark. I was just wondering, do you want to finish on what's next for Reach UK, how we can get involved, any more free stuff that we can get involved in?
Okay, there's always free stuff. So, no, I think, you know, one of the things that you said, and you were so right about it, we really do create a community around us. It's a community of the industry, investment professionals, the technology, and we love for this community to integrate, to talk and to really drive innovation by collaboration. So we will do a lot of events this year. Cretec, you already invited to. Sorry, guys, you know, that's the only free stuff I can think of right now.
I'm interested, you know, you've got Cretec. Yeah. But then what I would think of as the big events in our industry, whether that's MIPIM or LREF, yeah, or I'm going to miss out some kind of key ones here.
But actually, BCO.
You're
on the panel, Bill. Oh. Come on.
The British Council of Offices, which is really, really important to us, a conference in Manchester. There will be a prop tech panel, as there normally is. But actually, it should have a really big presence. Lots of your investors should be, like your investees should be there. So that's exciting to think about.
Yeah, it is exciting, and we are, you know, we could be quite helpful to bridge the gap between the industry and the tech. So we do a lot of content in-house. So last panel that I ran was with the Schneider Electric, the Crown Estate, one of our companies, FIMA, which is incredibly interesting. I probably don't have time to speak about, you know, with all of my passion and excitement about all of the companies we have. And then it had a SmartPoint as well. That's actually, I'd love for you guys to have a conversation with these guys because they provide the smart concierge solutions for the offices. It's like the SmartPoints, it's the smart lockers. So for the new buildings, they do need to work with architects in order to make sure that the access to the lockers are safe in the bigger buildings. So we were talking about the data and human-centric design. So I love when you have this opportunity to actually hear the both sides of the story and not separate the technology from the real estate, because it doesn't make sense to me. So you really need to make sure that you understand both parties, and that's what makes content really super interesting.
Well, we'd love to get involved, and we definitely... Natasha, thank you so much for coming on today. It's really
nice. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was
brilliant. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.